people in the church. God is not his back on persons. God uses everybody. And it's good to see the young people praying for those who are sick.
Amen.
Because God answers prayer. Yeah. You know, I was unfortunate a couple of weeks ago on holiday to be 1 minute okay and the next minute to have an accident which created a collapsed disc. But God is good. He managed to get home and we're here today to share the word of God. And because we're talking about Israel, I want to talk about God's promises to Israel. But just before we do that, I just want to mention a few things about, because Paul talked about how blindness has come to Israel. Now, after the resurrection of Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus appeared, in its sense, with infallible proofs. Not some proofs, not a lot of proofs, not many proofs, but infallible proofs. There was no doubt whatsoever Jesus was raised from the dead. And when he was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." So he gives forgiveness. So after his resurrection, there is the revelation, infallible proof that he is risen.
Amen.
Yet, with that, the religious people never believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Now, so they have blindness. And I'm just going to cover a few things of this blindness first. The book of Hosea. The book of Hosea says, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." An important verse, because they take this verse and a lot of verses are interpreted by this verse. And so what we find is, because they will not look at the New Testament, what we find in the New Testament, the prophecy about Jesus. We have the prophecy of the Son of God being called out of Egypt. The Bible also talks in Isaiah 42. It talks about, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, and whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench." And of course, you go to the New Testament, what does it say about Jesus? A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. And then it goes on to say, "He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." And the Bible also starts to go on to say, "And I'll give a covenant on the people for the life to the Gentiles." And what was it Simeon said when he came into the temple when Jesus was presented? He says, "The Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And then it says, after he saw the child, he said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And so as you keep going through, you keep finding what has been written in the Old Testament, Jesus is fulfilling in the New Testament. And of course, it goes on to Isaiah 53. And what you tend to find is the Jewish people saying they are the light of the world. We are the people, a righteous people bearing the sins of the world. And so blindness has come to them. But that blindness is not going to last forever. And I want to go through some scriptures today. There's quite a few scriptures, but it's important that you get a grasp of the restoration that is coming to Israel. Now, very familiar passages, Matthew 24, 32. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. And then in Luke 21, starting from verse 29. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. And when they had now put forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. In the scriptures, and saying you learn a parable of the fig tree. And in the scriptures, the fig tree always represented self-righteousness. The first time it's mentioned is in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, 7, when Adam and Eve got fig trees to cover themselves. The self-righteousness was a picture of religious Israel. They had the religion, but they never had any fruit. And there's many scriptures that goes on to say that, and talk about that. But the scripture says, when we're reading Luke, Jesus starts to unfold events as the disciples have asked about his coming, what things will be like. And Jesus unfolds a lot of things. You know, he talks about his deception coming, not to be deceived. But he talks about things that we're very familiar with. He talked about there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Well, the 20th century was the worst century in history for wars. He says there's going to be earthquakes, and these earthquakes are going to be very serious, they're going to be very in different places, and the intensity is going to grow as my time comes nearer. And then he talks about famines, and we also know when you look around, well, one time Zimbabwe was a great place for the food basket of it, Africa. But now no longer, you've got Ukraine, a food basket, struggling, drought in places in America. So, famines have always been, but we look to see the intensity. He talks about lawlessness. At the present time, in certain parts of the USA, you'll find that there's major shops are closing down because of the lawlessness and moving away from areas. And then he talks about your wild weather. Major causes can be volcanoes that impact upon Earth, change in direction, jet stream, all of these things. And of course, people will say, many things have always happened. They've always happened. They've always happened. But here, people are always just talking about, say, we have always had those events. That is why a unique event is also given. A unique event is also given. And the verse of scriptures give prophetic revelation, the sign of the fig tree. And it is an amazing thing. Back to Matthew 24, learn a parable of the fig tree. This was spoken the day after Jesus cursed the fig tree. Because it had its leaves, but it had no fruit. You know, and that takes place out of March, April, the Jewish first month, and the summer was only 2 months away. And the big fig tree is the biblical symbol of Israel. And Israel as a nation has to be in existence before Jesus comes. You know, the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36. He talks about the mountains of Israel, the hills, the rivers, and the valleys, how it was all polluted with heathen. But then he goes on to say, but ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are and have to come. Now, when you look at the history of Israel, when they entered the promised land, what did the Bible say about it? It was a land flowing with milk and with honey. When Israel were dispersed by the Romans, the land of Palestine fell into a desert, wasteland, no fruit, nothing. And so when around the 1860s we read about a very well-known writer called Mark Twain, and he travelled through Palestine and Jerusalem, and this is what I have to say: this is a barren place. It will never ever be inhabited. But Ezekiel 36, notice what it says, Ezekiel 36, 34, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. So Mark Twain, he passed by, it was lying desolate for 2,000 years. And the scripture is saying, it is a desolate land, but the ground will be tilled again. He said, it's be desolate in the sight of all those that are passing by. But when the Jewish people started to return to the land, amazing things began to happen. Rains began to return to the land. The land started to be fruitful. The Hebrew language was restored. And so we see that God has been working. Now, why were they scattered? The reason Israel was scattered among the nations was because of their disobedience and their sin. Ezekiel 36, starting with verse 17. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in the own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and their idols wherewith they had polluted it. When blood is shed upon the land, there is judgment. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doing. I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. And so the Lord judged them according to their doings. And the one thing you have to remember about Israel, you should never actually complain about them. Because the one who deals with Israel is not man, but God. And the judgments that God brings on Israel can be far more severe than what you could even think of. And so you never really want to get involved in judging Israel, because they are the people who are judged by God, and he is the highest God of them. And if you look at the judgment that they've had over 2,000 years scattered to the various nations of the world, when you go to Deuteronomy 29, verses 24 to 27, you can read about that type of thing as well. Isaiah 63, 65, different ones in Isaiah. But the Bible there accused Israel of blasphemy. They got so caught up in sin that they were blaspheming the Lord God. And God eventually said to them, will you strive for your maker? Will you strive for your maker? And so that was a condition for judgment to come upon them. But God's promise is a restoration. Ezekiel 36, again back to Ezekiel, verse 22. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine own name's sake, which ye have proclaimed among the heathen, whither you went. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. And so God tells them what he is going to do, and he tells them up front, I'm not doing it because of you. I'm not doing it because of you. Because you've sinned, you've rebelled, you've not kept my laws, you've blasphemed my name in front of the Gentiles. I'm going to bring this from where I scatter you. And I'll do it for my own name's sake. And so, God's promise for the future, which as we continue in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, He said, a new heart also I give you, and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Not for your sakes do I this, said the Lord God. Be known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. So even God's promise for the future, God is saying, I'm going to put a new spirit in it. I'm going to do something. You know, it's like salvation. No one of us can find God on the road. And no one of us can be saved of our own efforts. And that's why the Bible talks about, by grace are you saved, and it's through faith. But then it goes on to say, but that faith God gives you, so that you can respond to his work. See, it begins with God, it ends with God. And here God has said, I'm going to do something special in them when I restore them in the future. Jeremiah continues in the same theme, Jeremiah 31 and 10. It says, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the hills afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. And Isaiah 11, it says, even though they are scattered to the islands of the sea, from the four corners of the earth. And it specifies all the different countries, the islands, the four corners of the earth. Wherever they are, he said, I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back. So not every one of us have lived in the generation where this has been happening. They've been coming back from different countries at different times, and they're still continuing to come back. And probably one of the last strongholds which have not left yet is America. But they will come back. When they don't come back of their own volition, then God brings about circumstances that force them to stay. It's time for me to go. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant did break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, so, I believe some of these verses are also quoted in Hebrews. So God is telling us what he's going to do in the future. And Israel's restoration is prophesied by Jeremiah, continuing in chapter 31. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me. Thus saith the Lord God, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. So here Jeremiah comes, and he tells you what has got to happen before he would ever cast away Israel. If heaven above can be measured, who can measure the heavens? Didn't matter how many explorations, probes and news sent them, they never come to the end of the galaxies, do they? They keep discovering things, but nobody can measure the heavens. The question about the foundations of the earth, we find that in Job. Where God said to Job, were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? You've not got a clue how the foundations of the earth work. And so God brings into sight the sun and the moon, and he brings all these things to say, if these things can be known anything what we got Israel. But if you can't, I will restore Israel. And so the thing that have to happen to prevent God forsaking Israel permanently is the ordinances. Defined as the sun for light by day and the moon and stars for light by night. It's that to cease. If heaven can be better than this, I'm discovering the foundation of the earth. Only then would God disregard Israel. And Isaiah 66 says, "For the new heaven and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." So God, in his word, has been very clear. He's been clear about the judgments. He specified the judgments, he carried them out. They were scattered to the four corners of the earth. They were told why they were being judged. And then God said, for my name's sake, I will bring you back. And when I bring you back, your land will start to be fruitful again. But when I bring you back, you know that you're coming in to the end times. But the Bible makes it clear, Israel is God's temple. And as they've been brought back in, their eyes are still to be opened to the Messiah. But that day is coming. Even at this time, as more and more Jewish people discover the Messiah, there's going to come a day when they're all going to know him. And God's promises are going to stand forever. I had a book, which I've got actually, all the end times. And the professor who wrote about it, he says, when Israel was established as a nation, so many theologians just thought it was an act of history. But it's not it was an act of history, but it was more than that. It was the fulfillment and the beginning of the fulfillment of what is happening now, of God restoring his people. So that's why we have this 21 days praying for Israel. Because when Israel is restored, every other nation will therefore be blessed. Amen. When Israel is restored, then the King of Kings is turned up.
Yes.
When Israel is restored, all things are going to be made new. And the Lord is going to reign. And he will reign victorious.
Amen.
And so we pray for the blessing of God upon Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And as we're praying for these things, we are praying for the end of the time of the Gentiles, which started with our first captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And the times of the Gentiles is coming quickly to an end, and will come to an end when Jesus comes in the clouds with great glory.
Amen.
Coming to the place that he left, coming back to Jerusalem, coming back to his own land.
Amen.
So let's pray. Father, we thank you. Now the word of God is clear. And the word of God never changes. And so we stand upon your word today, Father. And we declare and decree that everything written about the restoration of Israel shall be done.
Yes.
It shall be accomplished. And that you will re-establish your people for your own name's sake. And they will not be cast away, because you are the God that loves them. And you are the God who is a God of covenant. And you have covenanted with them. And so, Father, we just pray today for the peace of Jerusalem, for the land of Israel, that the protection of God will be upon that nation, and that there will be revelation of the Messiah to the people of that nation. That the blindness that's covered their eyes, Father, we pray today for the removal of that blindness, so that they may behold the one that Zechariah talks about, when we shall see him, we shall weep for him. And so, Father, we just commit them to you today, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.